It is time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we talked a little bit earlier about a little foray I made in the 6 o'clock hour out to the rain garden here at KAXE. I wanted to take a closer look at the round-leafed dogwood flower structures. And I think they are called cymes, C-Y-M-E-S. But they are red. The structure is red. The berries are kind of milky white, and they will fade to a sort of a sky blue. They are, as far as I know, not edible. Bears like them and eat them, but I've never had anyone approach me about trying a berry from the round-leaf dogwood. But the structure of the flower, of the support structure for the flowers and berries is an interesting shade of red. I wouldn't call it fire engine red. It's kind of a little bit pinker than that. It's a red with a little, seems like a little white mixed into it. So it's a little bit pinker than just really red. But next to those big, deep green leaves, it is really spectacular. And if you find some of this round-leaf dogwood in your neighborhood, keep an eye on it, because this fall, in September, when it changes color, those leaves are going to turn burgundy, and the flowers or the berries will be pale blue. And it really, between now and the loss of its leaves, it is going to be a spectacle well worth checking out. Also out there, I mentioned earlier, a variety of clematis that is, I think, called Western clematis. It is a small, white, five-petaled flower on a vining plant, and it is common in North Dakota. I've seen it in North and South Dakota. I've seen it in Montana. It probably exists throughout the West, but it is a lovely little white flower, and it's going to be blooming. It has begun to bloom within the last couple of days and will probably continue to bloom until a lot of that rain garden is going to be covered in the little white blossoms of that clematis, because as a vine, it has conquered all. It drapes itself over every plant out there. The Monarda is not quite as spectacular as it was a week ago. It's starting to fade a little bit, and the Vervain is also beginning its trip down. I was looking at common tansy yesterday, and tansy is beginning to decline. I'm seeing a little brown coming in around the edges of some of the tansy flowers, so there are those signs. It is, the 11th today, kind of the, not really the middle, the first third of August has passed, and the two-thirds that remain will see a lot of changes that will sort of hint at fall. And among those changes that are sort of hinting at fall, the rose-breasted grosbeaks that were crowding my feeder for most of the summer and in the last 2 weeks of July and the first week of August, at one point I had five adult male rose-breasted grosbeaks on the feeder at the same time, and their mates were around and their offspring were around, and so there were a lot of rose-breasted grosbeaks on the feeders. Along about Friday last week, it dawned on me that there were no rose-breasted grosbeaks, that they had left the area, and they are among the first, but it is a wave that is going to continue. And we will be talking about that wave coming up this morning in the 9 o'clock hour with John Richardson and Harry Hutchins and Laura Erickson. So we're going to talk about birds and bird migration in the 9 o'clock hour this morning. You'll want to tune in for that. But the rose-breasted grosbeaks have moved on. As they moved on, the chickadees and the red-breasted nuthatches. I haven't seen the red-breasted nuthatches at the feeder very much all summer, and now they are regular visitors, and their little offspring are hanging out on the trees nearby waiting for mom or dad to bring them a seed, show them how to hack it open and get at that extra good sunflower meat that's inside there. So lots of red-breasted grosbeaks right now. Nuthatches, pardon me. The grosbeaks have left. The nuthatches are now at the feeder. Also, lots of purple finches at the at my feeder. I have lots of females, lots of juveniles, and an occasional male adult that come in. So there are some other birds that have supplanted the rose-breasted grosbeaks, but they too will begin to slide out of our area. My wife Denise reported that she saw the goldfinches plucking thistle seeds or thistle down from the thistle plants, and that is oftentimes an indicator that the goldfinches are nesting. We have been talking about the decline in bird songs. And it's true, there aren't a lot of birds singing right now. Probably two birds that I heard this past week, the red-eyed vireo and the veery. And the third song that I heard this past week wasn't a bird at all, but was the gray tree frog. Now, the gray tree frog is certainly not hoping to mate this time of year, but something about the day length that compares favorably. That's a chorus of gray tree frogs. Separate that out. You're going to have, yesterday at my house, I had two or three that were calling back and forth to one another, but pausing in between. It wasn't that raucous, hey, babe, here I am, come visit me. It was more like, hey, anybody out there? And then a little reply. So these little trills going back and forth. The one thing that tipped me off many, many years ago that these were gray tree frogs singing and not birds is that I was sitting in a deer stand bow hunting, and this bird, in quotation marks, was in a tree behind me, and it sang for over an hour. And in that hour, it never moved. It was always from exactly the same spot. And finally, it dawned on me, hey, dimwit. It's not a bird at all. It's a tree frog. Get with the program here. So if you're outside and you hear this trill, and it's answered by maybe another trill, and you're not sure if it's a bird or not, just listen for a while. And if it stays in exactly the same spot for more than 5 minutes, it's probably not a bird, because birds move around a lot more than that. Other signs of changing seasons, the high bush cranberries are starting to look more red than green. Blackberries are ripe. The smooth sumac and the staghorn sumac flowers are done and the fruits are forming. Choke cherries are ripe. There are still a few blueberries to be found, but not very many. Woodbine is the berries on the woodbine are ripe, and they're deep blue and kind of not really clustered like blueberries, but sort of there'll be five or six of them together in a little spot, and you can check them out. They are, as far as I know, not edible. So I don't know what to tell you about woodbine, except that if you want to try it, why squish one of the berries and taste the juice. And if you are still alive the next day and you haven't had raging diarrhea all night, then you might eat one of the berries the next day. And if 24 hours later you're still alive and you still haven't had raging diarrhea, you might want to eat four or five of the berries and then, you know, keep doing that until finally you figure out that the berries are edible. But I think if the woodbine berries were edible, I would know it. And somebody would have told me or given me a jar of woodbine berry jam or something, but that's not the case or hasn't been the case. So I would just enjoy the woodbine berries and not eat them. The other thing I would say about woodbine is that any day now, and I have seen on some of it by my house, the beginnings of the red that will be the woodbine's fall color. And what makes woodbine so interesting is that it can grow up something like a balsam where the needles are going to stay nice and green and in around the trunk where the woodbine has climbed the tree because it is a vine, the woodbine will turn scarlet and you'll have this deep green tree with this scarlet flashes coming out from the trunk where the woodbine has circled it. So watch for that. It will be it will be upon you sooner than you think. The other signs of fall that I have seen, I have a maple tree that is flecked, that is, it's starting to turn red, and the first of the spreading dogbane, which is that little plant with a red stem and a deep green leaf, kind of shaped like a football. And the flowers are, maybe a half inch, three-eighths of an inch for sure, deep and wide. And they are white with pink streaks. They are very popular with butterflies and moths. They have long pea pod like structures, except they're a lot narrower. They're more like a they're really like 4 inches long and about a quarter of an inch wide at the widest, and they're kind of a mixture of red and green. And those pods, if you want to get spreading dogbane going at your house, take some of those pods home, dry them out, and then kick up the dirt a little bit and spread the seeds in there, and you'll get some spreading dogbane going. I keep a bunch of it growing along the edge of my garage because it is such an effective attractor for butterflies that it's really quite interesting to have around. My friend Dallas Hudson over in Akeley said that he saw a young buck that was beginning to change from the red of summer to the gray of fall and winter. So the deer are starting to change back to their winter coats. Rattlesnake root, white lettuce is blooming. Common burdock is blooming. Spreading dogbane, we talked about. It is still blooming, but it is getting fewer and fewer blossoms. Ruby-throated hummingbirds are still swarming my feeders, but today is the 11th. I think the average date for last males is around the 15th of this month, so probably by the time we talk again next week, there will be a lot fewer male hummingbirds around. The male is the one with the red patch on his throat, and you should be watching the hummingbirds coming to your feeder for the next week or so. And if you have one if you have a male hanging around your feeder, make note of it, because at some point they're going to disappear and you and I will be the only ones who will observe that. So keep your eye on the hummingbirds and see if you can't detect when the last male is hanging out at your place. Joe pieweed is probably at its peak of flower. So is its cousin, the boneset. Both are in the genus Eupetorium. Common blackberries are yielding ripe fruit right now. So if you're lucky enough to know where there's a good patch of blackberries, you can get out there and get some of those wonderful berries, and you won't be sorry. That's the Phenology Show for this week.